Let me thank this music team here today that's come and to share their gifts and talents with us. We appreciate them and all that happens. Pray for the Lord to bless us. Good to have Stuart Pepper here on our video here today, sharing with us, remembering of those who've fallen here at First Baptist in the past year. We pray for the Lord to bless their families in a very special way. The title of today's message is Soldiers of the Cross. On this Memorial Day weekend, I'm thankful for the men and women who have volunteered to serve this country. During the recent wars, our hearts have been heavy for all of those who gave the ultimate sacrifice of their lives. One of the heroes in the Iraq War that I paid attention to was General Tommy Frank. General Tommy Frank was a tremendous leader and helped bring some restitution there and saving the lives of Americans and taking on the Iraq War. Was very successful. General Tommy Franks, he received 3 Purple Hearts during his Vietnam journey in his younger years. He was very close himself of giving his own life for his own country. He retired in 2003 from the military and to pursue other adventures. Today, General Tommy Frank is the head of Chuck E. Cheese. He's running that place. His grandchildren love going there. They ask him to help. And so today, he's one of the executive leaders at Chuck E. Cheese. What a general. From leading the armies across the world to taking care of grandchildren at Chuck E. Cheese. Praise God for General Tommy Franks. Today, there is another soldier I want to honor. The Soldiers of the Cross. Stuart Pepper just shared their names. These people, too, enlisted as a volunteer. Nobody can force you to become a born-again believer in Christ. In our prayers, they will always receive the blessings of their life, and I pray they never retired from their post until they crossed over to the other side. The other side, when God comes to our lives and we all cross over into that place called heaven, the Soldiers of the Cross, many times, they never receive any accolades. They never receive any medals. If you ever seen General Tommy Frank, 4-star general, stand up, his whole chest was just full of accolades and medals for all of his accomplishments that he earned, rightly so. But we as Christians, we don't get any of that on this side. It's when we get to a place called heaven. God's going to bless us like we could never imagine. In the judgment seat of Christ, I need to preach a message just on the judgment seat of Christ, but I want to refer to it today. The judgment seat of Christ is every born-again believer in this world, when we die, we stand before God at the judgment seat. For all the lost people who have never been born again, we'll stand in front of Christ in the great white throne judgment. We stand at the judgment seat. I want you to be aware of that, Christians. I want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, good and bad. So I want you to remember this. That when we die, when we walk into a place called heaven, we got there by grace, it's amazing. He is so loving, so forgiving. He would choose to die so we could all go to heaven. But when we cross over as believers in Christ, we will stand before him and to talk about all the things that was done, the Bible says, good and bad. A lot to understand about that. I want to bring that message to you in just a few weeks so you can totally understand the judgment seat of Christ. But we celebrate those that labored for the kingdom of Christ until the very end. Today, I want to encourage all soldiers of the cross, remain faithful to the end. I realize it's difficult to accomplish. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, talking to the young preacher, Timothy, said this way in 1 chapter, verse 18. He says, war a good warfare. He says, Timothy, I want you to be a battler for the kingdom of God and battle for a good warfare, battle for his wonderful kingdom. And so we as Christians are encouraged by Christ. When we're saved, we join the army of God. We're his kingdom. Man, we're the ones that last forever. No accolades on this side, but on the other side, man, will he ever bless us like you could never imagine. We will stand before that judgment seat of Christ, every one of us, that day. But today, I want to take you to a prophet in the Old Testament who almost went AWOL. He almost quit. Now, Christians, if you're listening today, maybe you haven't been in church for a while, maybe for a long time, let me share this with you. When God saves us, He encourages us that we can be His light and His salt in the world we live, where we work, where we play, where we live, all things for the kingdom of Christ in our lives. So we're on duty 24/7. Man, we've all blown it. We've all messed up on that journey. God's grace is sufficient. His forgiveness is amazing. He continues to keep us going. And there's been many times in your spiritual life that maybe you thought about quitting. Man, the sin came in, temptation came in. It looked like everybody in the world was having a better life or more fun than you. And all those things were taking place, so you just kind of walk away from God. I don't believe there's a born-again believer in a journey of life. It's sometime in your life when we just hasn't walked away a little bit. Some of us almost go A-W-O-L, absent without leave. But thank God for His grace. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, He'll bring us back. He'll discipline us. He'll chase and rebuke and scourge. He'll bring us back into fellowship. So we know what it's like to almost walk away. And so if you're here today and you're listening today, wherever you may be, are you a believer in Christ? Are you a soldier ready to war a good warfare? Ladies and gentlemen, this pandemic is worldwide. This pandemic has shut down churches and all across America, the church houses. The doors have been closed across the world. There is a time for soldiers to be engaged now more than they've ever been engaged. There's time for you to be on your post, to be praying for your church, be praying for one another, praying for your family. It's fun, it's wonderful to come to church every Sunday and sit with your family and worship together. It strengthens the family. Maybe you can't come to church to do that, but maybe you can have your family come over to your house on the Lord's Day and strengthen the family. Pray for them. Break bread. Pray together at that table. Talk about the grace of God. Encourage. And moms and dads, when you've got a child that's about to go AWOL, you know it before they know it. You know it. So find a way to encourage them. Find a way to bring them back. Those grandchildren that's so easily tempted in this fast-paced world that's about to walk away from the blessings of Christ. You can't break relationship with Christ. We're born again, but we can sure break fellowship with Christ. And it's a miserable place for children, adolescents, and adults to live. Almost AWOL. Habakkuk is our man of the hour. I wonder if you have your Bibles at home, turn to Habakkuk. Chapter 1. Yeah, it's really in there. There's really a book called Habakkuk. Find it. Go to your table of contents. You probably haven't read it in a while. I'm going to be blessing you. I'm going to show you the whole book in just a few moments. It's a short book. But this preacher, Habakkuk, tremendous man of God. He loved the Lord, and he loved the Lord's people. He's got a problem. You know who he has a problem with? His commanding officer. He's got a problem with God. You know, let me be honest with you. Sometimes as I labor in the kingdom of God, sometimes I just can't understand why God doesn't fix that. I don't understand why he allowed that to happen. We all do that when we see how evil it is in our world, and we see how children suffer and how good people suffer and how life is so hard for all of us. We wonder where God is. We wonder if he's still with us and for us. It happens to all of our lives. Let me tell you something. A faith that never asks questions is never a real faith. It's a brainwashing. Jesus was on the cross. The first thing he did on the cross, the first words, he asked a question. Father, why have you forsaken me? If Jesus can ask a question on the cross, I can ask a question driving on a car, on the highway in my car. I can ask a question anywhere. See, faith is always growing. Faith is always discerning. Faith isn't just a straight path. We got to walk with Christ through that, and sometimes we don't understand it, and we begin to think about quitting or leaving or thinking God failed us. I have sat in a lot of funeral homes. I have preached a lot of funerals. When I see that young person in that casket, their moms and dads and their family stand there with tears in their eyes, wondering why. The why. And I say it's okay to ask why. Jesus on the cross asked why. You know, some people say we should never ask God why. Well, I just wanted you to know, reality is we need to have help in our whys. And it seems like what happened, let me share you with you, God is a good God. God has never done anything bad. God's never allowed anything bad into our lives. It's a choice, and we live in a sinful world. We live in a fallen world, and bad things happen. But thank God for salvation and grace. To wake up in heaven at 16 is just as great as blessing to wake up in heaven at 70. Waking up in heaven is the best day of our lives. I don't understand all the things that happen, but I happen to trust God because I know He knows better than we do. Habakkuk was having a problem with God. He says, God, I'm down here preaching, I'm working, and nobody's changing. They're cussing more than they ever cussed. They're fighting more than they ever fought. God, where are you? You're not even hearing my prayers. So Habakkuk is about to go AWOL in verse 1. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Here's his burden. O Lord, how long shall I cry? O Lord, will you not hear? Even cry out in your violence, and you will not save. When do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plunder and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Now listen to what Habakkuk says. You know, the Ten Commandments is a pretty big deal with God. The law is really important. In verse 4, he throws the Ten Commandments under the bus. In verse 4, he said, therefore your law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteousness, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. He just read God a riot act. He says, God, I'm breaking command. I'm leaving. Where you been? I've been crying. Don't you see my tears? I've been praying. Haven't you heard my prayers? Haven't we all been there? Haven't we wondered sometimes in our life just why this world is in the way it is? When we as Christians are standing there, well, let me tell you something. This world's in a mess. But the problem isn't in heaven. The problem's down here with us. We as light and salt to love and care and witness and change this world. God presented to us. Remember the back of the day when he began this with Abraham? The seed of Abraham, the Jews, was that God was one to bless them and pervert and change them and power them, that we could go to the Gentile to win the whole world through the Jews. But they failed. And so now we're in the era of the Gentile. And we as Gentiles are failing just as bad as any Jews did. See, the question isn't, God, why aren't you doing? The question is, God, why aren't we doing better? But we've all been there like Habakkuk. We wonder where God is. We wonder how in the world this could happen. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get this. This pandemic we're living in today, it's nothing less than a spiritual warfare. Nothing less. I know it's disease. I know it's hurtful. But let me tell you something. The Bible says in the last days, there's going to be judgment to come across this land like you've never seen before. And this pandemic, it's caused so many disruption to the kingdom of God. To close the house of the Lord where we can't even walk into the door. It's a spiritual battle. And I do the same thing. God, how in the world could you allow that happen? Where are you at? We've been praying for months and weeks. God, bring us back. Bring healing to our land. Help us with this pandemic. Help us with this disease. But God, bring us back into fellowship. Bring us back into fullness. God, just come. I understand, Habakkuk, don't you? It seemed like nothing was going right. And we stand here today wondering, what's going on? Well, God's talking. God's been silent. But finally, and I love it when God speaks. When God speaks, it's clear. Let me share this with you. God speaks through four ways. Number one, he speaks through his Bible. Number one, he speaks through his church, which is his people. He speaks through prayer. And he speaks through circumstances. Those are the four ways that God will speak, and he speaks loud and clear every day of our life. Just read your Bible every day, and he'll speak to you. Just begin to pray daily for every storm in your life. He'll speak to you. He is a God in storms where he can be edified. And the circumstances of our life are always there. But God's going to speak to Habakkuk. And let me share this with you. This is kind of comical. God's going to tell Habakkuk, I got this, Habakkuk, relax. But he's going to tell Habakkuk how he's going to fix this, and Habakkuk don't like it at all. You know, when God fixes it, he never fixes it my way. You know, I'm on a need-to-know basis with God. He has to be God, and I'm not. But sometimes I think I may know a little bit. So Habakkuk's crying out, God, where are you at? Your people are so far from you. Sin's running loose. It's everywhere. So God's going to speak to Habakkuk. Listen to what he says in verse 5. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I'll work a work in your days which you would not believe, though you were told you. Habakkuk, I'm getting ready to make a move that's going to change this world. I've heard every prayer you've prayed. I've counted every tear you've cried. And now it's time to move. You know what God's going to do? He's going to send the Chaldeans. He says, for need I'm raising up the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans was the meanest, raunchiest, evil people in the world. He takes the rest of this chapter and explains how raunchy they were. Evil, sinful people. He's going to send the Chaldeans over to God's people and chasten them. And Habakkuk says, the Chaldeans, God, they're worse than we are. But God is going to bring judgment to his church, to his people, and bring correction. Listen to what he says. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I'll work a work in your days. Would you not believe, though I told you? For indeed I'm raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth, who possesses dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and dignity proceeded from themselves. Their horses are as swift as leopards. They are more fierce than the evening wolves. Their charges charge ahead. The cavalry comes from afar. They fly as eagles, and they hasten to eat. Man, he says, I'm going to use the Chaldeans to correct my people. Only God can come up with stuff like that. He's going to raise up these people to bring correction to God's people. In verse 12, are you not everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One, who shall not die, O Lord? Have you appointed them for judgment? So see, Habakkuk's been crying for God to correct his people. They broke the laws. They walked far away. Let me tell you something. When judgment comes and when God works, the only thing I can tell you about God, his thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. Man, I wouldn't have done that. Habakkuk couldn't figure it out, but this is what God said. The commander-in-chief is speaking. This is the general. Fall in line, Habakkuk. Be a soldier of a good warfare. Do as I command. Habakkuk has now got the game plan. Number one, God's listening. Number two, God's moving. It may not be like you want it to be moving, but God's moving. And when God's moving, great things are going to happen. So I want you to understand this. Never allow the cloud of our problems to steal the light of the world in our hearts. Never allow the cloud of our problems to steal the light of the world from our hearts. God runs this planet. And God's going to do everything just perfect. That's why you need to say amen. And God's going to run this thing perfect. Thank you. Did any of you at home say amen out loud? Thank you. Appreciate it. God's going to run this place. How many believe God's going to run this world perfect? Right now, in 2020, in where we are. Don't you believe it's going to be okay? I don't like how it's happening to you, but I don't have to like it. I live by faith. And faith is what you can't see. You keep believing it, and then Habakkuk will see it. Got it? Don't ever let the clouds destroy the light of God's love in our hearts. It's wonderful. Now Habakkuk has spoke. He talks about being patient, waiting on the Lord. Learn to be patient. I had an old preacher one time when I was just starting out, and I was in a tough time. One of the members of my church passed away unexpectedly in a car accident, and I was just, man, I was having a tough time with it. God, we got a lot of members down there, but that happened to be the best one. Why in the world, God? I was ticked off at God. There was so much help, and they brought so much validity to the kingdom of God in our church. Day before Christmas, car accident, young lady died. I'm sitting there, and they've called me in, and the family's in the waiting room to announce that their mother just died, wife just died. I'm sitting there at the end of the hallway, and man, I'm ready to quit this job. God, take this job and shove it. God, how can I walk in that room and share this news? This preacher that I knew, he was a member. He was over at Southern Seminary. It was his kingdom. He was a great guy. He seen me down there in the hallway. He walked down there, and I had a towel in my hand. I was crying. He said, "What's wrong, Ron?" I said, "Well, a family member just died, and I got to go in that room and kind of tell them all of that. And I don't want to do that. I don't think I can do that." The senior preacher said, "Young man, there's sometimes you get to be in ministry, and there's sometimes you have to be in ministry, and today is have to get in that room." I walked in that room. The saddest story I ever said in my life was in that room. And God filled that room up with his presence. Because the saint that just died was a saint, and we all knew it. And we was grieving, but we wasn't grieving without hope. We just knew that God knows best. Sometimes I get to be a Christian, and sometimes I have to. Habakkuk was about AWOL. He was ready to shove this job. God's speaking. He doesn't even like how God was going to do it. But God's doing it. Got it? Verse 1, chapter 2. Now this is what Habakkuk decides he's going to do. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart, on the tower, and watch to see what he will say to me. And I will answer when I am reproved. So Habakkuk is now looking for God to move. Let me tell you something. Without a vision, you will perish. This church needs a vision in this storm. This church has to have a vision through this storm. Habakkuk is now up on a tower watching, waiting to see what God's going to do. Let me share with you. As the staff and deacons have met, we're waiting to see what God wants us to do. As we begin to not open a church, we never closed it, but we begin to assemble back together. How to do that? We're waiting. We're watching, paying attention, waiting upon God to share with us exactly. Patience is amazing. You know, learn to be patient. Job lost everything, but he never lost his patience. Moses spent 40 years in the desert, but he came out as a warrior. The lame man, 38 years, asking for help and found it. The lady at the well with five husbands found Jesus. It's a long journey sometimes, but wait upon it. You'll find it. How many believe that? Say amen. Another amen. Amen. Habakkuk is now on the tower. God's beginning to answer him in verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision and make it plain on the tablets, he that may run who reads it. For the vision is yet to be appointed time. At the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry." God says, "Habakkuk, don't get ahead of me, Habakkuk. Just trust me." And then in verse 4, he nails this. Church, put this one on your refrigerator this week. "Behold the proud, the soul is upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." Habakkuk is up on a tower watching, waiting, because a man of faith will wait upon God. Wait in every storm, wait in every blessing. If you're discouraged in your Christian walk today, if you're about to go AWOL, if you're about to break ranks and break fellowship with Christ, your most miserable days are ahead of you. You don't want to go there. And we all know that because we have all been there. We know what that's like. We know what it's like to think that you're having fun, you wake up the next day and find out it wasn't fun at all, it was a curse. You know what it's like to sin and think you got ahead, then you find out you're 10 miles behind. To cheat, to steal, man, to try to get ahead. I had a talk with a young man who was 18 years of age. He's dealing with an issue. He's laid off, and he's making good money on his unemployment check. And the government's helping out quite a bit, making good money, but he's got a job. And he says, I need to stop my unemployment because I've been making a lot of money on the side. And I shared with him, cheaters never win. Cheaters always lose. Do the right thing. Just come off unemployment and take care. Let God take care of you. Isn't it easy to cheat? Let me tell you this. If you are a born-again believer in Christ and you love Jesus, and if you cheat on your taxes, you'll cheat on me. Cheaters always cheat. Got it? Isn't that easy to do? Break fellowship with Christ for something so simple. Paul, he is, Habakkuk, is saying, the just shall live by faith. Remember the three levels of faith? Good faith, better faith, best faith. Good faith is when you were born again and Jesus in your heart. You've been saved by his grace. You're on your way to heaven. But better faith is when you let Jesus be a part of the affairs of your life. Every day you ask God for direction. Every day you find his direction. Every day you're patient. He's involved in your life. Good faith is I'm saved. But better faith is when the involvement comes when you walk together down life's hard highway. That's good faith. And best faith, Lord, if I die, I'll die, but I'm not going to quit. I'll give my life for you. That's the best faith. So I want you to know, when we're walking and living in a storm, you live by faith. Christians want to say, Lord, let me see it and I believe it. And the Bible teaches us, you just believe it, now make sure you see it. Habakkuk is up on the tower. God says, write it down. You'll see it. Be patient because you live by faith. You know, Habakkuk made that statement right there, but let me share with you. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, as Paul was writing to the Romans, it says, and he made this declaration that he found in Habakkuk, and the just shall live by faith. And the Romans are having a hard time with that because they all had good faith. They all just got born again. But they don't know what better faith is. They're not getting God a part of the affairs of their life yet. They're not walking with Christ, following directions in our spiritual life. The just shall live by faith. Brother Stewart read, I believe, five names of fallen ones at First Baptist Brandenburg. Their faith brought them into this church. And their faith takes them home. Kingdom people. Great people that maintain. Brother Markham, as I hear the stories of your church when the tornado came, how the storm came and ravaged, I couldn't even imagine that. There was a pastor right here. We're worried about just giving up half of our pews when we open back up. They didn't even have a pew. Church gone, pews gone, but that man of God somehow led his congregation. Somehow he stood up and began to bring continuity, began to bring faith back to the people. And slowly but surely, that man of God labored in his kingdom. And I believe when he crossed over this year, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. That's what you want. That's what I want. But we got to do it by faith. Psalms 37:5. Commit thy way to the Lord. Trust always in him, and he will bring it to pass. Trust in it. You'll see it. You'll believe it. If you're a member of First Baptist Brandenburg, you know, I've had Becky work in our office and put together all the membership of First Baptist Brandenburg. And to find those who are active and inactive and people who attend and maybe haven't attended for a long time. If you're here and you're listening to this and you're on that inactive list, you haven't been inside this building because you were hurt or because you walked away from God, because you was AWOL, because you didn't think it was fair, you didn't think it was right, let me share with you the best day of your life after this is all over with to come back to the house of God and sit down and worship a God who's risen from the Savior. I want you to understand this. The commandment that God gives, thou shalt remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You know how many words he spoke in that commandment? 96 in that commandment. You know why? Because if the devil can get you out of church, now let me say this real slow. If the devil can break your fellowship with the church, he can do anything he wants with you. I don't care how much you pray, this is his bride. This is where you worship. This is where you give your tithes and offerings. This is where you build a kingdom. There's no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. You'll do something great with God through his church, or you'll never do anything great for God. It's to the house of God that God commissioned to win a world. And so if you're one of those people on this Memorial Day weekend, as we recognize the soldiers of the cross, and you're kind of AWOL, and you've been mad, you've been hurt, let me share with you. There's been nobody hurt more than me. There's been nobody madder than me. I'm the preacher. My heart's been broke. There was times I just wanted to fight. There's times I wanted to quit. It's part of the journey. Come on back to fellowship. His grace is sufficient. His love has never left. Come back and restore your fellowship. Because one day, you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. He ain't going to talk to you about what you did, what was good, and the Bible says, what was bad. I got one of my closest friends in this world, hadn't been in church in a long time. I've tried to talk to him for many years. He's still not in church. And my question is, and I just ask him, are you sure you're saved? Because my Bible says he'll chase and rebuke or scorn. And if he doesn't, you are illegitimate. You were never born again. I want you to know that. If you've got children who walked away from church at a young age and they're in their 60s now and have never come back, there's a good chance they never had literally possessed by Christ. There's been many people who professed it, but you've got to be possessed with it to live forever for Christ. So let me encourage you to evaluate where you are, because the soldiers of the cross, God needs every member of this church in the army for God, doing things. And we're all different. And we're not all going to agree. But we live by faith that God's going to bring it to pass his way. Then I want to close this. Prayer is the key to keep Habakkuk walking with God. Habakkuk chapter 1, almost AWOL. Chapter 2, he's looking for God. He's on the tower, waiting for God to write it down. Chapter 3, you know what he's doing? He's praying. Man, when you get back to fellowship with Christ, you know what praying is? It's talking to God from your heart, by faith. That's all it is. Now he's praying. He's praying in chapter 3. Read this with me. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet from Shiganoth. O Lord, I've heard your speech. I was afraid. O Lord, revive your works in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Here's Habakkuk praying. God, I want to thank you. Your work in the midst of these years, make it known. God, I got wrath, but give me mercy. He's praying. He understands it now. He understands what's happening. And then I want you to get this. in verse 17 through 19, we close this chapter. You know how we close the chapter? By faith. Listen to what Habakkuk says. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, that means I'm completely out of food. It's gone. Verse 18, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. Deer, mountain goats, their hoofs, they can climb mountains. Years ago, I drove to Pike's Peak, and there was some mountain goats. I was driving down Pike's Peak, and there was a mountain right there as I was coming through. I mean, straight down. And come down that cliff was goats walking down that cliff. I stopped. Why don't they fall? Hanging on. And then they crossed right there in the road in front of me, and all I could see is air, and they went right down that one. Well, those mountain goats didn't have a problem with the mountain. They could walk on it. And here's what Habakkuk said. Lord, you will make my feet like hinds' feet, like deer's feet. I can walk on that mountain that I've never walked on before because of your presence in my life. So I want you to get that. I need to ask you a question. Are you enlisted in God's army? Is your name on a church roll? Are you been active in that role? Are you AWL? Wouldn't it be great to be back in fellowship on this Memorial Day weekend? We're going to go to the graveyard, and we're going to visit our family and friends and put flowers on their graves for the ones we loved. I want you to know, living your life for Jesus to the end is the greatest thing you'll do. So let me encourage you on this Memorial Day weekend, the soldiers of the cross. Continue on your journey. It hurts sometimes, but is it worth it? God will give you hinds feet. That means that's best faith. I won't quit. If I got to walk down a mountain I couldn't, well, I'll just start walking. God will make it. There was this story, ladies in our church, she was a grandma that just had so much faith, she drove her kids nuts. She always preaching her kids about faith, having faith in God. Faith will get you here, faith will get you there. And one day they were sitting at the dining room table, and their grandmother was giving them a story about faith. And so the son stood up arrogantly and says, Grandma, if God told you to walk through that door, what would you do? She said, Son, if God told me to walk through that door, I'd start walking. It's my job to walk. It's his job to get a door when I get there. That's faith. If you've got to see it, you'll never walk. Living by faith will make you a soldier of the cross. Not perfect. Not credentials to brag about. But just a soldier who wore the war. Who fought in the war. And you became a great part of the kingdom of God. Don't be AWL. Take that faith step and be a soldier of the cross. We're going to give an invitation today. Invitation, first of all, to pray for our loved ones who went on before us. Pray for their families. Many of us will go to a graveyard today that there's people in that graveyard that died way too early. Horrible things happened. Thank God for heaven. We'll visit them because we'll see them one day. We'll see them. I had one of my deacons at Franklin Crossroads years ago. He's a senior man now. His wife died several years ago, very early. It's been a long time she passed away. He had a thing in the paper this week how much he missed his wife. He says, honey, I miss you so much, but every one day I put here is one day quicker I'll see you. I can't wait. I want you to know, when you're living by faith, walking with Jesus is exciting all your days. Be a soldier of the cross. Report for duty. We won't ask you to do 10 push-ups. We won't ask you to run a half a mile. We'll just ask for you to pray. How about that? Just pray. God, help me and bring me back to your fellowship of the wonderful house of God. Let me pray for you right now. If you're here and you've never been born again, you're not a soldier of the cross, and you'd like to become one by his grace, it's a free gift. I want you to just consider asking Christ into your life. It's a simple prayer. Nothing you can do. He did it all for you. All he wants you to do is trust him. Have good faith. Just faith, saving faith. Just trust him that he rose from the dead. The Bible says you believe in your heart that Christ raised from the dead, confess it with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't make you a Baptist, a Catholic, a Methodist, Lutheran. It makes you a believer in Christ. Then you need to become a part of a local New Testament church that he'll lead you to. But if you've never been saved and you're not sure about that, on this Memorial Day weekend, begin your faith journey. You pray this prayer. My prayer can't save you, but your prayer can. I will help you to pray your prayer. So you just repeat it after me. You make it your prayer. You just make it your prayer to talk to God. He'll listen to you today. Habakkuk in chapter 3 is praying, and great things are happening. He's walking on the mountains again. So I want you to pray today. Let's just do this prayer. I'll repeat it. I'll say it. You just repeat it in your heart as we ask this today. Become a soldier enlisted in the army of God today. It will be a great day. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, help me to understand how much you love me. I believe that you died on a cross and rose from the dead. I believe in Christmas, that you came as a baby to grow up so we could have your love and forgiveness. God, I asked you to forgive me of my sins. Help me to become a soldier in your army of God. Forgive me. Save me and use me into your service. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, that's a wonderful opportunity. But if you are a member of a church and you haven't been on active duty for a long time, you just walked away, I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to pray to the God who you know, who you want to come back to. You pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, help me to come back to you, to experience your love fresh, and forgive me. Forgive me of all my many sins, that I may forgive others that have hurt me. Bring me back to the fellowship of this church. Jesus, help me never to walk away. Help me be strong. When things don't go exactly as I think, I know you run the show. I trust you by faith. Bring me back into your fellowship. Make me strong. As we go to the graveyards today, thank you for a place called heaven. And God, help me to be a laborer in this vineyard while I can still walk. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing this invitation. If you have decisions to make in your house, you make them. Call someone and tell them. Call me. Call the church. If you're one of those members that's been away for a long time, it's awkward. You don't know how to come back. Just give me a call. I'll help you come back. When you come back, we'll rejoice. But remember, soldiers of the cross must report for duty daily. it changes our world. As we sing, make the big decision now and verify it by telling somebody. Maybe husbands, you're going to tell your wives right now. Wives, you're going to tell your husbands. You're going to tell your children. Let's go back to church. I believe it's the right thing to do. And God will help you. Declare that today as we sing just for you.